July 20th, 1969. A grainy broadcast crackled across the globe as millions watched Neil Armstrong step off the lunar module, leaving humanity's first footprints on the moon. "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind," he said. A line practiced to perfection, but still undeniably iconic. It was a historic win for humanity, a high point in the space race. But what if that moment was just the shiny, public-facing side of a much bigger story? What if the moon landing wasn't just about exploration, but about keeping secrets? Behind the cheering in mission control and the flag-waving patriotism, there's a murkier tale. Locked vaults hide classified files. Astronauts mention things they're not supposed to. And the moon itself, this familiar face in our night sky, turns out to be a total weirdo. Why does the moon behave so differently from every other celestial body we've studied? Why is its orbit suspiciously perfect? And the billion-dollar question, with all our technological advancements, why haven't we been back in more than 50 years? Theories abound, stories of secret projects, unexplained lights on the moon's far side, and seismic events that make no geological sense. Could the moon be more than just a giant rock? Is it possible it wasn't just found floating around, but was placed? And if that's the case, who put it there? Think about a truth so shocking, so universe-bending, that it has to be buried deep under layers of classified documents. A revelation that could completely rewrite what we know about Earth, life, and why we're here. What if the moon holds the truth, just sitting out there, daring us to figure it out? For decades, these questions have been brushed off as crazy talk or conspiracy theories. But what if the evidence has been there all along, waiting for us to notice? And once you do see it, well, good luck unseeing it. So what is the moon? Humanity's crowning achievement? Or the most elaborate mystery ever? Does it hold the answers we've been searching for? Or are we just projecting our wildest hopes and fears onto it? What really happened on July 20th, 1969? And what secrets might the moon still be keeping? The answer might change everything you know. Let's find out. The moon isn't just a shiny rock lighting up the night sky. It's basically Earth's behind-the-scenes manager, quietly making life as we know it possible. Without the moon, Earth would be a whole lot different, and not in a good way. One of the moon's most crucial gigs is keeping Earth's axial tilt in check. You know, that 23.5-degree angle that gives us seasons. That's not just random. It's the moon's gravitational pull that keeps Earth from wobbling like a drunk spinning top.
Hey, Ralph?
Yeah?
What in the heck are you talking about? English, please.
Okay, fine. Here's the simple version. Without the moon, Earth's tilt would go haywire. Some places might be stuck in eternal winter, while others bake in unending summer. Imagine that chaos. Ecosystems collapsing. Agriculture going off the rails. Not great, right? Then there are the tides. The moon's pull creates them, shaping coastlines and keeping marine ecosystems alive and thriving. Tides are like the ocean's circulatory system, moving nutrients around and helping sea creatures survive. Without the moon, tides would be weak, and the sun's gravity alone wouldn't cut it. Entire food chains could collapse, and that's bad news for, well, everyone. But the moon's resume doesn't stop there. It's also been slowing down Earth's spin for billions of years. Back in the day, a single Earth day lasted just a few hours. Imagine trying to get anything done. Now, thanks to the moon, we've got 24-hour days, a nice, manageable rhythm for life. Without it, Earth's rotation would speed up, shortening days, whipping up crazy wind patterns, and making life a lot less cozy. And let's not forget its role as a celestial flashlight. For millennia, the moon's glow has guided travelers, inspired poets, and helped ancient civilizations keep track of time. Sure, It's not as flashy as its gravitational effects. But nights without the moon would be pitch black, making life harder for nocturnal animals and even humans trying to navigate in the dark.
So let me get this straight. The moon isn't just a pretty thing to gaze at. It's like Earth's personal trainer and life coach. It keeps everything stable, regulates the oceans, and even gives us light to get stuff done. But here's the kicker. Doesn't all this precision make you wonder if it's really just a lucky accident? What are the odds of a moon so perfectly placed to do all this?
Well, that's a great observation, Wendell. The moon's alignment with Earth's needs is so spot on that it's hard not to wonder if there's more to the story. Whether it's an incredible coincidence, a product of design, or something we haven't even thought of yet, there's no denying the moon's importance. The moon doesn't just light up the night. It's been shaping Earth's history, sustaining life today, and setting the stage for the future. Without it, Earth might still be here, but it wouldn't be the Earth we know and love. That kind of perfect partnership makes you stop and think. If the moon is this vital, could its role really be an accident? The moon has always been there for us, hasn't it? Lighting up our nights, guiding sailors across vast oceans, and inspiring countless love songs and terrible poetry. But have you ever stopped to wonder where it came from? Mainstream science thinks it has the answer. The giant impact hypothesis. This theory, cooked up in the 1970s, tells a story straight out of a cosmic action movie. Billions of years ago, in the chaotic anything goes days of the early solar system, a Mars-sized protoplanet called Theia slammed into young Earth. Boom! The collision blasted massive chunks of Earth's crust into orbit, forming a fiery ring of debris. Over time, gravity did its thing and churned that mess into the moon we know today.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
On the surface, the theory checks a lot of boxes. The moon's composition is a close match to Earth's crust, suggesting they share a common origin. It doesn't have much of an iron core, which makes sense if Theia knocked the heavier elements elsewhere. And the moon's slow drift away from Earth? Well, that fits with the whole chaotic collision vibe.
Wait, hold up. So Theia just strolled in and nailed Earth at the exact perfect angle, not too steep where we'd get planet billiards and not too shallow where it just bounces off. And then all the debris decides to behave and form a stable moon instead of scattering all over the place. Yeah, sure. Totally sounds like a normal Tuesday in space.
You're not wrong. It is an astonishing set of circumstances. But science is all about evidence. And for now, this hypothesis fits a lot of what we know. Stop being a toddler. Thanks to advances in computer modeling, the giant impact hypothesis has stuck around. Simulations suggest this kind of collision could create a moon-sized satellite with Earth-like traits. It even explains the moon's low density and lack of volatile compounds, which would have burned off in the heat of the cosmic fireworks show. The biggest evidence? Isotopes. Lunar rocks brought back by the Apollo missions have isotopic fingerprints, almost identical to Earth's crust. If the moon had come from some other corner of the solar system, its isotopic signature would be different. So far, no dice. But even with all this, the theory doesn't tie everything up neatly with a bow. Take the moon's orbit. It's suspiciously perfect. The moon's size and distance from Earth allow for total solar eclipses, or nearly total solar eclipses, where it covers the sun so precisely, it's like a cosmic bullseye. Coincidence or something else?
We don't believe in coincidences.
Then there's its orbit itself, almost perfectly circular. Most moons have orbits that are more, let's say, wonky. Add in the fact that the moon is huge compared to Earth, it's a giant among planetary satellites, and you start to wonder if this whole impact story is just the opening act. Could the moon's origin be something far stranger? Maybe even deliberate. The Apollo missions didn't just give us rocks and cool photos. They also raised some unsettling questions. What if those astronauts found something too weird or too big to share? Could the moon be artificial? Something designed?
The Anunnaki, obviously.
All these lingering questions couldn't just be ignored. NASA eventually started making plans to go back to the moon. Not just to visit, but to stick around and figure out what's really going on.
Exactly. So why haven't we gone back yet? Wait, I see that look. We actually made plans, didn't we?
We sure did. The year was 1959. The Cold War between the United States and the Soviet Union was in full swing, and the space race was turning into the ultimate flex for global dominance. Sputnik had already shocked the world in 1957, and the Soviets were pulling ahead in space exploration. The stakes couldn't have been higher. Whoever controlled space controlled the ultimate high ground, both militarily and symbolically. Amid this frenzy, the United States quietly launched a top-secret initiative called Project Horizon, which was a plan to establish a permanent manned outpost on the moon by 1966. At first glance, Project Horizon looked like a bold but fairly predictable move and America First response to Soviet progress. But dig a little deeper and things get weird. This wasn't just about beating the Soviets to the moon. Declassified documents reveal an ambitious and cryptic mission. We're talking fully operational lunar base equipped with military-grade tech, excavation tools, and, wait for it, nuclear weapons. The plan involved launching hundreds of rockets to ferry supplies, living quarters, and advanced gear to the moon. They envisioned a dozen people living and working there for extended periods. Officially, it was all about controlling the moon and using it as a forward base for exploration, or potentially something far stranger. The urgency was intense. The moon wasn't just about bragging rights. It was seen as the key to humanity's future. But behind closed doors, there were whispers of an even more pressing reason. Some insiders believed that the US wasn't just racing the Soviets, they were racing time. Why? Because according to some, the moon wasn't just an empty, unclaimed frontier. It was already occupied.
Let me get this straight. They wanted to build a lunar clubhouse, stock it with nukes, and call it a day. That feels a little extra, even for Cold War paranoia. And don't tell me this is just about beating the Soviets. This smells fishy, even to me.
Well, it's not really paranoia if the other guy really is trying to outpace you. The Cold War was all about going big or going home. But yeah, the scale of Project Horizon does seem over the top, even for that era. Makes you wonder if they were worried about more than just the Soviets.
Or maybe they knew something we don't, like what or who was already up there. Come on, Ralph. You're dying to say it.
Oh no, nice try. I'll save my theories for later, but let's just agree this project raises way more questions than it answers. To understand just how gutsy Project Horizon was, think about the timeline. This wasn't some far-off future of humanity plan. They wanted to build a functioning moon base within 7 years of kicking things off. 7 years. And this was the late 1950s. We didn't even have rockets capable of carrying the payloads needed for such a feat. Building this was like trying to construct a skyscraper in the middle of the Sahara Desert with tools you hadn't invented yet. Still, the project's architects were undeterred. They even included contingencies for deploying nuclear weapons on the moon. Officially, these were for defense. But defense against what? The documents are suspiciously vague. Then, just as subtly as it appeared, Project Horizon was shelved. Officially, it was too expensive and impractical. But let's be real, since when has the US government been shy about blowing a budget, especially during the Cold War? The whole thing smelled off. Rumors began swirling, whispers about classified findings, strange anomalies, and unsettling discoveries on the moon got louder. Some parts of the plan feel especially odd. For instance, why bring heavy-duty excavation tools for tunneling? Why propose shielding structures buried deep beneath the lunar surface, way beyond what's needed for basic solar radiation protection? And then there's the kicker. Why were there classified contingencies for unexpected discoveries. The abrupt cancellation of Project Horizon has fueled decades of speculation. The official reasons, budget issues, and technical hurdles, are convenient, but they don't explain the eerie breadcrumbs left behind. Because maybe Project Horizon wasn't canceled because it was too hard or too expensive. Maybe it was abandoned because they found something up there, something that spooked them. It was abandoned because the moon's mysteries were already being explored, not by the Soviets and not by the Americans, but by someone else who had beaten us there. The moon, calm and mysterious, has fascinated humanity for thousands of years. But what if its secrets go way beyond the craters we see and its silvery glow? What if the hidden side of the moon holds mysteries so profound and so unsettling that governments have looked for answers using methods that are anything but traditional? This is the story of psychic experiments, unexplained moon oddities, and the people whose encounters left them rattled to the core. Ingo Swann wasn't your average guy. Born in 1933 in Telluride, Colorado, he grew up in a family that balanced brains with creativity. After a stint in the U.S. Army during the Korean War, Swann set out to be a painter. But life threw him a curveball when he started showing off some serious strange psychic abilities. By the 1970s, Swann's reputation had grown enough to catch the attention of researchers at Stanford Research Institute. He ended up helping create what we now call remote viewing, basically using psychic skills to see places or things you can't physically reach. Swann's talent was so impressive that even the CIA got curious and brought him into classified programs like the infamous Stargate Project. But of all the wild stuff Swann claimed to have done, one story stands out. His supposed remote viewing of the moon. In his 1998 book, Penetration, The Question of Extraterrestrial and Human Telepathy, Swann said he didn't exactly volunteer for the cosmic gig. He wrote about being approached by shadowy government types who wanted him to psychically scope out the moon. What he allegedly saw, well, let's just say it wasn't craters and dust. Swann described massive structures on the moon's far side, geometric buildings, dome-shaped complexes, and towering spires. He also claimed to see lights zipping across the surface, lights that didn't seem random, but deliberate, like someone was driving them. Oh, and then there were the humanoid entities.
Whoa!
Swann said these beings were very aware of his presence, and the feeling of being watched was straight up terrifying, as if his mind had wandered somewhere it really wasn't supposed to be.
So, Swann psychically crashes the moon party, and instead of being friendly, the locals are like, "Who invited this guy?" Makes you wonder why we still call it just a lifeless rock.
Well, if what he's saying is true, then we're talking about intelligence way beyond what we understand. And it's pretty clear they don't want company. Fact or fiction, the implications are enormous. Swann's claims stirred up plenty of controversy. Critics chalked it up to a vivid imagination, but some supporters couldn't ignore how his descriptions matched up with later satellite imagery. Could Swann have actually tapped into something real on the moon's hidden side, or was his mind just playing tricks? While Swann's claims were mind-blowing, another figure stepped into the spotlight, this time from the military, with allegations that might be even harder to shrug off. Meet Sergeant Carl Wolf, an Air Force technician stationed at Langley Air Force Base in the 1960s. Wolf's job was all about processing images from lunar missions, a pretty routine gig, until it wasn't. One day, he got called in to fix a broken piece of equipment at another facility. What happened next turned his world upside down. While Wolf was working on the issue, a fellow technician casually showed him some high-resolution images of the moon's far side. But these weren't just your standard craters and rocks. Wolf claimed the images revealed massive structures, artificial ones, nothing like the natural lunar features he was used to seeing. Then came the kicker. According to Wolf, the technician admitted that NASA had discovered these structures during the Apollo missions, but had slapped a big fat classified sticker on the whole thing. For decades, Wolf kept quiet, worried about what might happen if he spoke up. But in the late 1990s, he finally decided to break his silence, sharing his story in interviews. Here's the wild part. Wolf's descriptions of those artificial structures eerily lined up with Swan's earlier accounts. Coincidence? Maybe, but I don't really believe in those. It sure adds another twist to the already tangled mystery of the moon. Even the astronauts who walked on the moon haven't escaped some eyebrow-raising claims. During the Apollo 11 mission, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin allegedly saw some things that rattled them. Reports mentioned lights or objects moving in ways that just didn't line up with what you'd expect from a lifeless lunar landscape. Some stories even suggest they felt like they were being watched. Creepy, right? The details are fuzzy, but here's what's not. Their vibe during the post-mission press conference, instead of looking triumphant, like guys who'd just done the most incredible thing in human history, they seemed subdued, almost haunted.
It's a beginning of a new age.
Naturally, this has kept the rumor mill spinning for decades. Did they stumble onto something extraordinary up there? And if they did, why the wall of silence?
Oh, sure, Ralph. Nothing says totally normal moon mission, like returning to Earth looking like you've seen a ghost. But hey, maybe they were just jet-lagged.
It's more than just their demeanor. When you start seeing similar patterns across different accounts, Swan's, Wolf's, and now the Apollo crew, it becomes harder to just write them off. The tricky part is figuring out where the truth ends and speculation begins, especially when the implications are this big. From Swan's remote viewing to Wolf's claims of hidden structures and the Apollo crew's eerie post-mission vibes, a pattern seems to emerge. One that whispers of intelligence, purpose, and maybe even design. These stories push back against the comfortable notion that the moon is just a big, empty rock in the sky. What if the moon's mysteries go way beyond its craters, right down to what it actually is? Because not only are there alleged bases on the far side of the moon, but the moon itself may not be a natural occurrence. Allegedly, it's engineered. The moon, a constant presence in our night sky, has already proven to be way more mysterious than most of us ever imagined. It's not just a glowing orb up there. It's played a massive role in shaping life on Earth and has been woven into the fabric of human history. But the deeper we dig, the stranger and frankly, more fascinating the story gets. So far, we've looked at how the moon keeps Earth in check, the strange theories about its origins, and even the bold, borderline sci-fi ambitions of Project Horizon. Then there are the unsettling claims from Ingo Swan, Sergeant Wolf, and the Apollo 11 crew, stories that make you wonder if the moon is hiding secrets far beyond its craters and dust. Could it really be a lifeless rock? Or is there more going on than meets the eye? The pieces of the puzzle are starting to come together, but the biggest mysteries are still ahead. What about those wild origin theories? Could ancient myths like the Zulu people's account actually hold some truth? And what about the most mind-blowing idea of all, that the moon might have been engineered? We'll dive into all that and more in part 2 that will be released on Thursday. Until then, remember, the moon may light up our nights, but its deepest mysteries are still waiting to be uncovered. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive into the moon's enigmatic story. I'm Ralph, that's Wendell, and this has been Divergent History. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit subscribe, share your thoughts in the comments below, and maybe even send in a theory of your own. You never know where the next video might take us. I'll see you in part 2 on Thursday, where the mystery only deepens. Until then, stay curious, stay kind, and know that you are truly appreciated. See you soon.